Back here on Cody and Gold, coming up in about 15 minutes, we bring back the snitch line. We haven't had the snitch line on the show in quite some time. Back by popular demand, so you can start sending those snitches in to 913-586-7965. But let's talk some fantasy football. 1 week in the books, on to week two. We go out to Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com. He joins us thanks to Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. I'll just start with at least something on my mind, and I'm sure a lot of people, and that is, where are we at with Christian McCaffrey? A lot of people drafted him in the number one overall. Maybe he got lucky and he was there at two. He didn't play last week. It sure seems like he's not playing this week.
Yep. And honestly, I'd prefer that they keep him fresh, but I think the emerging storyline is going to be, if Jordan Mason is as good as he looked on Monday night, he's going to be a factor this year. And if you're Kyle Shanahan, and you know you've got Christian McCaffrey, who's probably in the final quartile of his career, don't you kind of go to a committee now? Even though he's never been a committee guy, Kyle Shanahan's always had his workhorse back, right? But now, don't you just play to keep both of these guys fresh through the whole season? And that would be the worry for me is, you know, instead of getting the 20 touches a game we're used to for Christian McCaffrey, that it's going to turn into 12 for a lot of this season when he does come back. So Mason looks great. Maybe this offense can make anybody look great, but the worry for me, I guess, is for Christian McCaffrey is going forward, he's not the workhorse back anymore.
So who's going to be the player people are more happy they ended up either stealing late in the draft or picking up? Jordan Mason or J.K. Dobbins?
Oh, wow. I mean, J.K. Dobbins right now looks like the clear path to being the starter. And now, granted, Jim Harbaugh has said that he's going to use a hot hand at running back, and that was Dobbins clearly in the opener. But more importantly here, I think that's going to be the case going forward. Gus Edwards just looked bad. Just 2.4 yards per carry, and across the entire league, Gus Edwards had the second worst rushing yards over expectation at negative 1.6 yards. So he was actually under expectation by a yard and a half. And Edwards looks slow. Well, J.K. Dobbins posted a 20-mile-per-hour gallop on that long run that he had. So now here comes Carolina. So I love Dobbins this week. I think he's a great start. And if Gus can't get paid here, we might be looking at dropping Gus outright, or maybe you certainly can't start him if he can't do anything here against Carolina.
In a weird way, because of the way he coached in college, Charch, and because what we saw in week one, does this make Justin Herbert a worse fantasy quarterback to play?
Well, maybe, just because the volume might not be there. Because we know if Jim Harbaugh can run, he's going to run. That's his bit. And same with offense, the new offensive coordinator they've got as well, Greg Roman, who comes from a running background as well. So, yeah, the volume might not be there. And you may have to just really pick your spots on Herbert. But also, it doesn't help that he lost Keenan Allen. He lost Mike Williams. DJ Chark is out. And now also Josh Palmer's hurt. So you roll all that together, and you really can't start Herbert this week.
Talking to Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com. One other injury, Puka Nacua. We know he's on IR, and then what, they have a week six bye, so you might be waiting until week seven to utilize him. What's an option if somebody didn't pick anybody up on the waiver wire? How do you approach that? How does that impact some of the wide receivers in that offense?
Well, first and foremost, 21 targets for Cooper Kupp. Oh my God. And if that's, this puts Cooper Kupp right back into the conversation of your weekly, like, is he my number one wide receiver this week? Is he my number two? He's my number three. He is, that's the kind of volume that Cooper Kupp's going to get. And we've seen it before, right? With Kupp in the past. So we know that Sean McVay is perfectly willing to just feed Kupp like crazy. And that's going to be a continuing storyline. Meanwhile, DeMarcus Robinson going to be very, very safe, and he's going to get a fair amount of work. Out of nowhere, Tyler Johnson, a first-round pick like 6 years ago, who has done nothing, it turns into somebody you could potentially use as a spot starter, had one big gain in the game that they played last week, and probably here, again, spot starter against the right team. And by the way, Arizona this week is the right team. You could start him too.
Charge, what about a team near and dear to your heart? I don't know if it's called Sam Darnold. I think some people were calling it a renaissance. I'm not sure if you were ever good, you're able to say it's a renaissance of what, his college playing career. But he looked really good in week one. But the Giants might be the stinkiest team in the entire league, sans the Panthers. So is Sam Darnold an actual play this week against San Francisco, an obviously much more difficult opponent?
Yeah, I think he is. He completed his first 12 passes to open his career as a Viking, which is awfully impressive. And, you know, the 49ers, obviously a very good overall defense, but where they're really elite is as a run defense. As a pass defense, they're much more susceptible, and they can unleash Nick Bosa and Leonard Floyd, but the Vikings just neutralized an equally good defensive line with Dexter Lawrence and Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns. So I still think they can get a little something done here. Vikings will probably be without Jordan Addison, who re-injured his ankle. That's a loss. No TJ Hockenson still. So, you know, the limited weapons probably cap his upside. But is Sam Darnold startable? Yes. You know, within a cap that, you know, you're probably looking at the best case scenario is probably about 240, 250 yards and a couple touchdowns.
All right, let's go locally here in Kansas City. A player on the betting side that I'm excited about this week for an anytime touchdown, I think he's about 6-1. First touchdown, 25-1, is Samaje Perine. He just missed what would have been a touchdown last Thursday in the opener against the Ravens on a pass there in the flat. Is he somebody that if you're in some big-time running back trouble that you can give a look?
Yeah, you know, I want to watch and see more what they do with Perine. The utilization wasn't high, and Steele was out there taking some of the work that I thought maybe he would get, and that part worries me a little bit. You know, Perine ran 8 routes, so okay, that I did like to see him out and running a couple of routes anyway, and he got a couple of targets. I guess the question for me is, at the goal line, could he be a factor? Maybe. I just think Pacheco's your guy there too, and I don't know. I think Perine's like a 3-carry, 3-catch-a-game guy, and I don't know that that makes him fantasy relevant enough for me based on what we've seen so far.
Seems like it's just a guy you're banking on a touchdown for, which is when you're really desperate on the fantasy end. I want to ask you about the game tonight, but before that, I'm going to ask you a personal fantasy question because,
Sure,
sometimes you shouldn't care about your own teams, but I drafted this guy in 3 damn league charges, and I need to know if I'm screwed. Can you tell me how the Saints can score 6,000 points and Chris Olave not matter? Am I screwed? Am I screwed on Chris Olave?
Probably not. And it was a dreadful game for him in terms of the box score, but just the game script, right? The Saints got out way, way ahead and early, and they just didn't pass that much, and they didn't need to throw to Olave. And you almost get the feeling at some point the Saints just went, you know, he's our best player. Let's keep him healthy. You know, let's go somewhere else with the ball, and they're throwing to their tight ends and they're running. And so, I still like Olave. We know he's still a focal point of that offense, and I am not hitting the panic button by any means yet. I mean, it's, you know, the panic button's on the other side of the field. That's all your Panthers, right? Is there anybody you dare start from the Panthers going forward?
What about Joe Burrow? He's going to be in Kansas City. We know they've usually played close games, but that looked like a different Cincinnati team last week. We know that T. Higgins looks like he's not going to play on Sunday. So how does that impact fantasy football wide receiver Jamar Chase and, of course, Joe Burrow?
Yeah, I don't like this matchup. Jamar Chase might still be knocking some rust off. Didn't look completely like himself last week against the Patriots. And without Higgins, and you correct me if you think I'm wrong, I think Chase draws shadow coverage from Trent McDuffie like most of the game. And he frequently shadows, and he especially shadows when the opponent doesn't have a proven number 2 receiver. And with all due respect to Andre Yosevash, that's not much of a threat. So I think Chase gets a lot of Trent McDuffie. McDuffie gave up 22 scoreless yards in his coverage against Baltimore. That's it. And so I just don't see enough quality targets coming for Burrow, and I don't like him very much here. And by the way, you may have seen video of Burrow repeatedly flexing his wrist on the sidelines during last Sunday's games. And when asked about it, Burrow says that he's just a habitual wrist flexor, that he flexes his wrist all the time. He flexes at home. He flexes at the facility. He flexes in the huddle.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, sure. Drew, our producer, does that all the time, too.
Right. Maybe that's the case. I never noticed it before, but habitual wrist flexor.
Charge, game tonight. They've already announced that Raheem Mostert's out. They have not yet, and let's just say – let's say Achane is out. For the sake of this argument, let's say he doesn't play tonight either. What do you do about running back two? Because I feel like every time I try to guess on a Kyle Shanahan or Mike McDaniel offense, I zig when I should have zagged. So everyone will say it's Jalen Wright, and somehow Jeff Wilson will end up with 25 carries.
And it would be Jeff Wilson, right? He was active last week. The rookie they drafted, Jalen Wright, was inactive last week. So if Mostert's ruled out, if Achan doesn't go, presumably Jeff Wilson is your starter. But, you know, they'll work in Jalen Wright as well, and they both become plausible plays. We frequently talk about the Miami runners as being like owning a Lamborghini, right? When they're actually running, they're great, but they're broken down constantly. And, you know, it's always a problem for these guys. Now, I think the real question is, if Achan's active for the game, now what do you do? You know he's laboring on a bad ankle. You know he gets hurt all the time. The risk-reward proposition is gigantic. If he does end up just taking all, if he's healthy and he takes all of Raheem Mostert's work, then an effective, and Achan plays the whole game, you could be looking at a giant game. But he could also, like, carry number one, he could re-injure his ankle, and he's out. So, I mean, massive, massive risk-reward proposition for Devon Achan tonight.
What about wide receivers? You probably go way back with fantasy stats. Performances, if someone were to get handcuffed before tonight's game, what could that mean for their fantasy expectations?
It worked out pretty well last week.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well last week. How? By the way, most teams, they even for their home games, everybody's at a downtown hotel or they're at a hotel near the stadium, and everybody like takes the team bus over for like exactly these reasons. I wonder if the Dolphins don't change their protocol on this, and rather than have players just sort of drive themselves in, they do something like this, which would not surprise me very much, but. Yeah, let's hope there are no last minute arrests that happen.
I think Tyreek will have a good game tonight, no matter what happens. All right, Charge, we appreciate it, man, and hopefully in our listener guillotine league and in our media guillotine league, that nobody spends $666 again like they did this week.
I know. Don't ever spend that much money on anybody, no matter how good you think he is. But hey, look, we'll roll with it. If everybody else wants to make those mistakes, fine. We'll just continue to hoard our money, and we'll be dominating in November, baby.
There you go. Thanks, Charge.
Thanks, friends. Bye-bye.